from WBRI 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Share Show.
Don't you dare try to talk before I talk. Don't do it.
Evil theme song.
I go first.
Evil theme song.
I go first.
Evil theme song.
I go first.
Evil theme song.
It's all about me.
That's our evil theme song.
Wait, how many beats per minute
121. It's right over the threshold.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, the threshold's 120.
Everything I forgot about that. We got to be careful.
Everything. I think my headphone's on.
I told you that there's a reason why they have the L.
I never heard of the stupid thing with headphones on left and
you
right.
You never heard of that?
It kind of reminds me of those who like say they have a left and right sock. There is no such thing.
I know, but on every set of earphones, there's an L.
I've never seen
that
in my life.
And there's an R, and I think it's an anatomical issue. I don't understand.
Anatomical.
Well, you put them on the other way, and it didn't feel right, did it?
I don't speak in tongues.
It didn't feel right, did it?
It's because you got tape on this. You give me the crummy headset. You get that nice, fancy thing.
I know.
Thing.
Well, I'm Martin Zender. I have dogs named after me. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You get a dog named after you.
I think they only named one end of the dog, Zender.
You get a dog named after you, we'll get you a new set of headphones.
I don't want a dog named
after me. I think there's a pet newt named after you somewhere.
A newt?
What's a newt? It's a little lizard.
How do you spell it?
N-E-W-T.
I doubt it.
Yeah, there's a newt out there named Dan Sheridan. That tickles me for some reason. I apologize. Let me tell you something. You going to read something else from that Irish book?
No, I'm just ignoring you right now. I've had enough.
All right. Well, you brush up on that Irish book. I'll say one thing before we get going into this first secret here is that the secrets are broken down into two main groups, and there's an interesting characteristic here. There's the general secrets.
General.
Right. The secret of God, the secret of marriage, the secret of Messiah, the secret of lawlessness, secret of godliness. Interesting. All these secrets came on the heels of a failure, of Adam's failure. Am I keeping you up? I'm sorry. What time did you get up this morning? Like
2.
What did you get up at 2 for? You couldn't wait to get in here and see me?
I could not wait. I was just wondering how I was going to get here fast enough to see Martin.
I understand.
Zender.
That's fantastic. Adam fails because we wouldn't have the secret of Messiah or the secret of marriage even. Marriage came on the heels of Adam's sin, and so did the secret of God because God withdrew himself. I just think it's interesting that we got a lot of great revelation based on human failure. And then we have the secrets of Israel, the secrets of the kingdom, the seven stars, Babylon, the length of Israel's blindness, the secret of the gospel. All these things have to do with the failure of Israel, which we begin to see in Matthew 13.
Pardon me.
You were going to say something about that?
No, that's an important distinction, that if Israel had received their Messiah when he came, there would be no mysteries or secrets of the kingdom.
Exactly.
If Israel had received Messiah, there would be no measure of grace as it is today.
That's
in other
right.
words, upon the heels of Israel's rejection of Christ in the book of Acts, God unfolds the greatest grace in Paul's letters.
Wow.
Which is it's interesting. You know, Paul uses that phrase. You know, in Romans 7, it says that sin through the commandment became exceedingly sinful. You know that passage?
Mm-hmm.
In Ephesians 1, it talks about the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, right? Ephesians 2 talks about the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 3 talks about the exceeding love of Christ, which passes knowledge. So when sin becomes exceedingly sinful, exceeding power, exceeding grace, and exceeding love is manifested.
That is profound truth.
So you think about that, and it almost makes you marvel. Now, you and I can't justify. We can't say, well, then it was good that Israel sinned, or it's good that we sinned. We don't say that.
But God can.
But God can take that sin and use it in such a way to use it as the background to display a diamond.
And without Israel's failure, again, we would be out of the picture. There would not be evangel coming to the nations. We would still be guests at Israel's table.
We'd be secondary citizens.
We'd be secondary citizens. And not to mention Adam's failure. People always lament Adam's failure, and yet we're going way back, but what comes of that?
Yeah.
The secret that Christ is the supreme, that the Son of God reigns supreme because Adam's offense was the occasion for the sacrifice of Christ. You don't have it without the failure of Adam and Eve.
You know, I noticed as you were talking a minute ago, sometimes we sound like we're minimizing the role of a Gentile in the millennium or the new heavens, new earth. In a sense, we are. But if you and I today were in the kingdom and Christ was here, we had a perfect kingdom, and we were in the new heavens, new earth, you and I would be really happy.
Oh, yeah, I'd love
it. But when you compare it, when you compare the grace that is shown today in the to the Gentiles in Paul's ministry, in the height of the blessings they've been given, in comparison, it seems to be like nothing. You know, it's almost like a candle in view of the sunshine. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's just,
you're really happy to have the candle when it's pitch dark, but you don't, when you see the sunshine, it's like, man, I mean, I would be happy to be on the new earth. I'd be happy to be in the 1,000 years when the earth is regenerated. And you got grapes the size of volleyballs, and nobody has to, you know, till the soil anymore, and just plenty, and it just sounds great to me. The weather's decent, 100% chance of sunshine every day. You know, I'd love that. But then when our celestial expectation is unveiled, you realize, wow, what a calling this is.
Yeah.
But those failures, I think we can apply that personally to our lives also. This is a great lesson, that these secrets come on the heels of the failure of Adam in the garden, and the failure of Israel at the time of the coming of the Messiah. Apply that to your personal life. When you fail, when you make a really bad mistake, or when something really terrible happens to you, you think it's the end, but it is God's opportunity to show you something that you would not have seen otherwise. We try to do our best in this life. You want to do the right thing. We exhort you to do the right thing. But as soon as that bad thing happens, that's when you need to switch your thinking and say, you know, that had to happen. If I had gone back, how many times do you say, boy, I'd do things differently. If I could go back, I would do things differently. No, you wouldn't. If you went back, you would do the same damn thing again.
So, I think a better response is, now that I've been through that, I have a little more wisdom next time, rather than saying I'd go back and do it differently.
You would not.
You wouldn't, because you don't have that foresight.
That's right.
Now, we can, you know, we look back and we can learn from a situation. We see what God did through our failure, and it gives us wisdom for the future. But you and I aren't, we can't jump in the future, look back, and then come back and do it again. It doesn't work that way.
It just does not work that way,
folks. I wish it did sometimes.
I wish it did. Wisdom is only the beginning of what you get after you fail.
Yeah.
Wisdom is just the first thing you get. After that, it takes a while sometimes to see what God has in store for you.
Now, I would not, if I had to do it again, I would not get up at 2 in the morning. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, I would have.
Because you're here with
me. Now that I'm sitting here, tomorrow, there's no way in the world I'm getting up at 2 in the morning.
Look how long it took after the failure of Adam. I'm going to mention this because God is such a long-suffering God. After the failure of Adam, Eve births Cain. And she says, I've produced the coming one. It was promised to me that my seed would take away the serpent. And yet, how many generations had to come to pass before the secret of Christ is revealed?
Quite a few.
Likewise, Israel, as we're going to look into Matthew 13, Israel rejects the testimony of our Lord. And it's many years even before the Apostle Paul is called. And it's even many more years after that before he reveals the fullness of the secret in the book of Ephesians. How many years do we have, Dan, between the rejection of the kingdom beginning in Matthew 13 and Paul revealing the secret administration that's based on that failure? How many years in between there?
Oh, there's
30, 40 years.
Something like that.
At least
30 years.
So sometimes you have to really wait God out, folks, but he is patient, he's long-suffering, and that 40 years is nothing to God.
You know, I was teaching a Bible study the other night on 1 Samuel, and after the Ark of God was taken by the Philistines and it came back, It says the Ark of God abode in somebody's house, and says it was in Israel mourned for 20 years. And at the end of 20 years, then Samuel comes on the scene to fix it. But God let them wait 20 years. God does stuff like that.
I know. That's hard. The children of Israel
crying out, oh, get us out of this bondage, you know. And it says their cry came out to God. What does he do? Don't worry about it. You don't got much time. Only 40 more years to go. I'm training Moses in the wilderness, so you got to wait 40 years while I train Moses, you know.
Really want to see you, Lord, but it takes so long.
Are you singing
Lord.
More crummy music? Is that
it
what
takes
get?
So long, my Lord. George Harrison, at least I wasn't singing Led Zeppelin, but it takes so long, my Lord. I've always liked that verse when I listen to that song. It takes so long.
Doesn't a psalmist say that a lot? How long, O Lord?
Yeah.
Why standest thou aloof?
Yeah, it does seem that God has, and that we're going to.
Psalmist cried that out.
And you know what? That's part of the secret of God.
Yeah.
That's part of the secret of God. Because I'll just a quick glimpse into that. People say, where is he? There's no God in the world. He lets all this tragedy
where
go
on.
Where
is the promise of his
Where's
coming?
The promise
all
of his
go
coming?
On
That's
as they've
right.
been from the beginning of creation. But this they are willingly ignorant of, says Peter.
Yeah, they're willingly ignorant that God is operating things. You know, we read Ephesians 1:11, God is operating all. Even as he appears to be sleeping, he is operating all. He knows very well when that last second is going
to
tick off.
Are you trying to imply that the God of Scripture is not taken by surprise? Do you mean to tell me that the God of Scripture is not monitoring the polls right now to find out who's going to win the next election so he can see if he can get something done finally?
Jeez, I don't know. That is radical.
Do you think God is up there saying, oh, dear me, please let Sarah Palin be elected president so I can get something done in America? You think God's doing that?
Boy, I don't know now. You got me thinking.
Oh, dear me, please allow the conservatives to get in office so we can fix those liberals and I can get my work finally accomplished in this planet. Isn't that what God's doing?
You got me wondering now. No, I don't
course
think he
not.
Is doing that. No, I don't think he is doing that.
Somebody, you know, I actually had a friend, poor guy.
You actually had a friend?
Actually believes that.
You actually had a friend?
Actually believes it. Oh, this couldn't be God's will that Obama's president. It couldn't be God's will. Doesn't the Bible say he sets him up, he puts him down as he pleases?
You know who said that?
Who?
Nebuchadnezzar said that.
Nebuchadnezzar, but how did he?
Daniel 4:35.
But where did he get that? Where did he get that from?
Well, he got that from spending a few years in the chewing his cud with Bossy.
Yeah.
He was out there in the fields, became a madman. His hair grew and he
actually
became
that's a figure of speech. He actually walked from Ohio to Pittsburgh is what he did.
Who would do something crazy like that? And there's another great example of Nebuchadnezzar going through a horrible trial and coming to that fantastic realization that you and I talked about, that God does what he wills according with the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can come into the power apart from him.
That's right.
And that is a great truth.
Well, we are going to get to these secrets. Boy, we do this a lot to people, don't we? We start a topic,
yeah,
and
we leave them hanging. Yeah, but it's good stuff. I mean,
you got it. You know, 2 Peter, there are 3 chapters. 2 of them are introduction.
Okay, that makes me feel a lot better.
So
it's good enough for
example.
It's good enough for Peter. It's good enough
for
us.
Yeah, right. Well, this is Dan Sheridan and Martin Zender. Thank you for joining us today. You can go see these archive shows at martinzender.com.
That's correct.
You can also go to our sponsor program, crossandthrone.com, and help keep us going. And if you have any questions, feel free to email us. We answer them on the air whenever we get a chance.
Whenever the mailbag shows up.
I miss her.